Thank you for that, Sally. And Dale, thank you as well. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? It's getting warm. Or is it just me? I'm nervous. It's my last sermon of the year. If you haven't got a blue handout, would you raise your hand? The deacons will come around and hand you one. This is the study guide. You are going to have homework. Don't worry, you can do it next year. Okay, literally. Some over here as well. Okay. Anybody need any more? Follow along in the handout. And there is really homework. I wasn't joking. I wasn't joshing you this morning. Words to live by. What words do you live by? Go ahead. The words of God. Don't touch that, right, Bob? What else? Hopefully that fixed it. What else? Words of God, what else? What are some words you live by? Faith. Very good. God is love. Okay, well, those are positive and encouraging and wonderful, right? Okay, good. Good, good. Well, the sermon this morning is entitled Words to Live By, and I pray and I hope that this will make an impact on you as it's made on me this week. I had an experience last night. I was woken up at 2 o'clock, not by my wife. I don't know if it was I ate too late or if it was the Holy Spirit or what, but I woke up. And I'm wide awake at 2 o'clock in the morning going, God, why can't I go to sleep? And it was cold. So I kept trying to snuggle next to my wife and she'd kick me. So I said, this isn't working. I can't fall asleep and I can't cuddle up next to her. So I went downstairs and I opened the Bible. I opened the Bible and I prayed and I read and I went through the sermon again. I made some changes and stuff, but just the impact that this message had on me in the wee hours of the morning were significant. So I pray that it does the same to you. Let us bow our heads. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we've come here to worship you. We've heard talented people offer up their talents through music this morning, Father, and we're so blessed to be here, Lord. We're thankful that we're in good health and that your blessings, as indicated by the giving that's been going on the last year, Father, have been abundant. Father, you are so good to us. But as Oscar mentioned, the important aspect that we need to come around is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because in that, we have access to eternal life. And Father, this morning, because of that, we're going to read some words from the Bible. And I just pray, Lord, that those words can be words that we live by and that you renew our minds in the process. Because, Father, we need that. With all the negativity and all the doubt and all the anxiety and all the stress and all the things, Father, that bombard us, oh, how we need that. And so, Father, I pray that you'd have your way with me and us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's the end of the year. How did it go? Oh boy, I'm getting nervous, Dad. Fast, we're here. All right. Blessed, right? You know, it's the time of year that I think we can look back on and we can say, okay, what have we done that's been good? What have we learned from? Where did we grow? Where did we stumble? Where did we fall? Where can we make up? Where can we do better? Right? And it's through, excuse me, my machine fell asleep. It's through that recollection and reflection. Thank you, Mary. Reflection that we can actually gauge and grow and figure out what we can do in the coming year, right? Some people call those New Year's resolutions, right? And many people, they start a new discipline in the year. They want to read the Bible through, maybe entirely, or they want to read it more. They want to pray more. They want to journal. And I think those are all important things, and I think it's important that we reflect and we figure out how we can grow closer to God, right? You know, what I do as a pastor, and I'm not whining this morning, okay? So just bear with me. What I do as a pastor is very challenging for me, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, and even physically. There are days that I wake up and I go, God, I don't know if I can do this much longer. I don't think I could do this forever, God. But, you know, while it's been physically and emotionally and spiritually challenging, I can say this, Arroyo Grande, for those of you that come here week in and week out. The last 4 years of my ministry have been the best 4 years of my ministry. Here's the thing. I haven't changed what I've done a whole lot. I haven't changed that. But what a lot has changed is how I think. Did you see that? My thinking has shifted considerably from pastoring here as it did before years and years ago. So the message this morning, I feel, can have a big impact. And I know it's had a significant impact on me. Now, I know some of you this morning are going, oh, New Year, Shmoo Years. I don't want to hear another New Year's reflection sermon on what I should be doing and what I could be doing, right? And I know others of you are hungry and you can't wait. You need this. You say, this is important. I want 2019 to be... Do you want to come check this? Is that better? I want 2019 to be full of faith. Amen? Do you want it to be full of faith? Full of passion? I'm not convinced. I'm not. Some of you are sitting there like, okay, well... I'll ask a question again. Do you want 2019 to be full of faith or passion? Raise your hand if you don't want to speak. Do you want it to be... full of faith. Amen. I do too. And that's, we're going to start out with this. Your thoughts matter more than you can what? Imagine. Your thoughts matter more than you can imagine. Right? And here's the thing. Our lives move in the direction of our what? Strongest thoughts. Your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. If your thoughts are full of faith, full of God's truth, you're becoming more like Christ every single day. But if your thoughts are negative, toxic, polluted, I promise you, you will not live in victory. I promise you, you will struggle in your actions because your thoughts are far from God's truth. Our thoughts and our lives move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. There's a Bible verse, and it's going to be on the screen. You can look it up if you'd like to. It's Romans 8, 5 to 6, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. I love how it says it in this translation. It says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about what? Sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to what? Life and peace. Here's the thing, church family. Inner dialogue matters. It's huge. Is your mind dominated by negative, critical thinking? Or is your mind controlled by the Spirit of God, consistent with God-honoring truth? Something to think about. Let me give you two sets of internal thoughts, and you answer the question as to your life or your thought, whether it's more God-centered or, would you say, more negative-based. Number one, do you wake up? This is two scenarios. First one, do you wake up thinking, my God is with me, my life matters, I am full of faith, my mind and spirit are at peace today, I have divine energy for the day, it's amazing, and I'm so excited about the future. Hallelujah! Right? Sounds ideal, sounds right, sounds like that's what we want. What about scenario two? Are you ready? I don't want any amens, though. You wake up and you say, man, I'm so tired, I need some coffee. I feel horrible. I'm falling apart. I'm getting so old. Why did I have these children? I have too much to do today. God, I need an extra day this week. Just one extra day. Please, God. I'm tired of people. I'm tired of my job. Life is overwhelming. I can't handle it. No, never, right? You don't have those thoughts. Now, obviously, I'm exaggerating a little bit on both sides, but if you're honest, what would typify the general dialogue that you have with yourself and your mind? Think about that. I want to make a statement. I'm going to ask a question, and I want you to think about this. Your life moves in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And are you excited about the directions that your thoughts are taking you? That's important. It's very, very important. To be honest, there are times in my life where I'm not moving in the good direction. My thoughts are negative. I do wake up and I'm tired and cranky and hangry, right? I don't set the right foot off on the right side of the bed, so to speak. My inner dialogue can be sometimes on the negative side. I'm being completely honest. I have too much to do. I can't get it done. I can't keep up. And I feel overwhelmed. But you know, God helps us change our thinking through one discipline I call words to live by. And it's by spending time with Him and reflecting on His goodness and realizing the promises He has for you and for me. You know, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, is a verse that's spoken to me for years and years, and maybe it'll speak to you at the beginning of this year in a new and a fresh way. This is what Paul said. He said, don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God do what? But let God transform you. Let God change you. Let God transform you into a new person by doing what? By changing the way you think. What I love about this is not me changing. This is God changing me by renewing my mind. This is God changing me by renewing my mind, by stopping the negative lies and replacing them with godly truth. This isn't me working to change me. I'm not up here preaching Tony Robbins. Okay? I'm preaching that God has the power to change our thoughts and our minds. God changes me, not into a better version of me, but into a new person. Check that out. Let God change you into a new person by changing the way you think, because like it or not, so much of life isn't about what happens to you, but so much about life is how you think about what happens to you. Think about that. It's not about what necessarily what happens to you, but what you think about what happens to you. Yeah, something bad can happen to one person and they fall apart. But something bad can happen, the same thing to someone else, and they're like, well, I just got closer to God because of all this. It's not so much what happens to you, it's how you think about what happens to you. It's the same with your stress. Stress is not so much about you have to do it. Stress is how you think about what you have to do. Think about that. When you recognize that God is with you, His power is real, His grace sustains you, and when you're weak, He carries you. Amen? In your weakness, His strength is made perfect. Suddenly, what used to seem like stress becomes an opportunity to tap into His power. It's not about all that you have to do. It's how you think about all that you have to do. Preaching to myself here, Josh. And I love the way that Paul unpacks this powerful thought in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. He says that this, and this will be encouraging to you, though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. He's going to get in some cool language. He says, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. In other words, I don't need a gun or a knife. I've got spiritual weapons that have spiritual power. And he says, our weapons aren't normal weapons. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world. We fight with prayer. Amen? We fight with fasting. We fight with the Word of God. We've got the sword and we've got the Spirit. We've got the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith. We've got the helmet. We've got the belt of truth. We've got the shoes prepared for the gospel of peace. We don't have normal weapons, and our weapons are powerful. They demolish what Paul calls strongholds. Anybody say, what is a stronghold? Well, the Greek word that's translated as stronghold is the word okirama. Okirama. And the word, it's like, if you can imagine, a castle with a dungeon. It's a prison. And a very literal translation of this is a prisoner locked up by deception. What's a stronghold? It's someone who's in prison and deceived, believing there's no way out. It's a wrong mindset. It's a spiritual trap. You know, years ago, when I was about 12 years old, my parents owned about 250 acres in Watsonville, California. And one afternoon, my friend Lewis and my friend Daniel came over to play. And we would build forts in the redwood trees, and we'd go off and we'd bike ride, and we did all sorts of fun stuff. Well, one day, I remember this, we were playing hide and seek. And Daniel and I saw Lewis hiding, and he went into the little barn that we had. Inside the barn, there was these two little doors that were all the chicken food and some of the stuff for the horses were inside there. It's like a closet. And we saw Lewis go into the closet and hide. So you know what we did? Or one of us did. Kids, don't do this, okay? I don't know if it was Daniel or I don't remember. We went over to the door and we got a 2x4 and we put it on the door. And we tiptoed out and we left and we went and we did something in the woods for about an hour. We came back and we hear, "Let me out! Let me out!" You know what Daniel and I did? We just laughed. We just laughed. Poor Lewis, right? Lewis, he's a police officer today. Well, he's not listening or watching. So we laughed and we went and jumped on the trampoline. I remember Daniel said, "Let's go jump on the trampoline." I said, "Shouldn't we let him out?" No, let's go. Okay. So we went, we jumped on the trampoline for an hour. Well, we go back over and now he's kind of crying. Okay. Sorry, Lewis. He's kind of crying. So we feel bad and we say, "Well, maybe we should let him out." So one of us walks over to the door. And we take the 2x4 off, and we walk out, and we throw the 2x4 on the ground. We say, "Okay, you can come out now." And he goes, "Yeah, right. I'm not coming out. Let me out." We're like, "The door's open." "No, it's not." So we laughed again. Those are my pre-baptism days. We laughed again. So then Daniel and I decided to go down. We had a pond down below, and we decided to go down to the pond and do I don't know what. So we went down to the pond. We came back. It was dinner time. Hey, you can come out, Lewis. No, I can't. Let me out. You know, Lewis, we let him out. I mean, we opened the door after that. But here's the thing. It's a silly, kind of silly illustration. And I'm going to tell you right now that many of you, that's where you are. Satan has got you convinced that you can't, that you won't, that you never will. He's got you so convinced you don't have the faith to reach out and grab what could be yours. You're trapped in the closet and you think there's no way out. Why? Because you're believing a lie. It's a stronghold that the evil one, and the good news is that you don't have the divine power, but God does have the divine power to demolish strongholds. And how do we do this? Well, the text goes on. Here's how we do it. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. How many thoughts? Every thought. Every thought needs to be captivated by Christ. Powerful. Sister White didn't say that. It's 2 Corinthians. Straight from the Bible. I like that. If you've got a rebellious thought, what do? You capture it. You shut it up. You're going to obey Christ. Amen? If you've got a critical thought, what do? You capture it. You still it. If you've got a negative thought, someone says, you can't, you never will, you capture it. And you say, I'm going to teach you the Word of God, and you capture it, every thought, and you make it obedient to Christ. Here's where I need you to work with me this morning. I'm going to give you two questions to ask yourself. The first one is this. What negative thoughts are dominating your thinking? What negative thoughts are dominating your thinking? And I'm going to give you some ideas, and I want you to write down two or three that are very real for you. You can do it now or you can do it later on your study guides. Okay? But what negative thoughts are dominating your thinking? Maybe it's can't get done, I'm not a good enough mom, you know? I'm always battling, I'm inconsistent, I'm undisciplined, I never get ahead, I struggle with weight. I'm an average student, I don't pray enough, my faith is so small. Then I want you to ask yourself, what spiritual truth will demolish those strongholds? Because everything I just said has a spiritual truth that can demolish them. It can take them out. I have everything I need to do it and everything that God calls me to do. Here is one. Christ in me is more than enough. This might be yours. Worry is not my master. My faith in God is in God alone. Here's some words to live by. Start the day out with God. Confess how great He is. How amazing He is, and the truth that He has for you and for me. If you put God first every single day, and you spend time with Him every single day, for just a few minutes, if you feed on His Word, and you speak out loud what He says is true, that discipline, words to live by, can completely change your thinking. A few potential starting confessions, I wrote these last night. Maybe we can read them together. If we're worried all the time, what's a response we could have? Let's read this together. I'm not anxious about anything. I cast my cares on God because He cares for me. I have the peace of God dwelling in my heart and ruling in my mind. Good stuff, right? You're worried? Say that. don't know God's will? How about this? Let's read it together. My life belongs to God. Daily I seek Him, and daily He directs my steps. I know His voice, and He leads me to His perfect will. Amen. Here's another one. Lack confidence, right? Let's read it together. My confidence is in Christ and Christ alone. Because His Spirit lies within me, I can do everything He calls me to do. Good stuff. I think there's one more. We already did this one, didn't we? Yeah. I doubled it. Oh, here it is right here, the last one. Inconsistent in time with God. I love this one. Let's read it together. I love the living, indwelling presence of my good God. Praying is important to me as breathing. God's word nourishes my soul. I depend on His presence every moment of every day. You know, it might seem silly at first. You might even feel like you're lying to yourself when you read those out loud. But we must keep declaring who is God to us and what He can do for us, what He wants to do for us. Amen? Renewing of your mind, changing the way you think, and having a mind controlled by the Spirit of God is what we're after. Now, as we close this morning, I want to share with you some of my faith statements. You can write your own down on your study guides when you get home. Don't copy mine. No. But here's what I wrote for me. Jesus is first in my life. I exist to serve and glorify Him. I love my wife, and I will lay down my life to serve her. My children will love God and serve Him with their whole hearts. I will nurture, equip, train, and empower them to do more for His kingdom than they can imagine. I love people and believe the best about others. I am disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. I am growing closer to Jesus every day. Because of Christ, my family is closer, my body is stronger, my faith is deeper, and my leadership is sharper. I am anointed, empowered, and equipped and called to reach people far from God. I'm creative, innovative, driven, focused, and blessed beyond measure because the Holy Spirit dwells in me. I develop leaders. That's something I do. It's who I am. My words, my thoughts, my imaginations are under the power of Christ. I take all thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. This one I had to think about for a while. Pain is my friend. I rejoice in suffering because Christ suffered for me. I bring my best and then some. It's what I bring after I do my best that makes the difference. And the last one. The world will be different and better because I served Jesus today. You know, that's why with every bit of excitement, passion, and spiritual enthusiasm I would love to invite you to join me in going before God and letting Him change us into new people by changing the way we think. Not locked in a closet by a lie, but set free by the truth. You know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We know Satan is the father of lies, but Jesus is the author of truth. And that's why these are words to live by. My appeal this morning is simple. We don't just hear the word, we do the word. If you say this morning to me, Pastor, game on. I'm ready. I'm ready for this new year to be more God-honoring than ever before. I have some negative dialogue that I struggle with, and I want that to change because it's unacceptable. I realize that it's not good for me. I want my thoughts to honor you, God. I want my mind controlled by the Spirit. I want to bring my best. If that's you this morning, would you just say amen? Would you raise your hands this morning and say, God, I want that to be me this next year. You know, you've come this morning to worship our Creator, to to worship our friend, to be and hear from our Redeemer, Jesus, who has the power over death. And here's the thing. He wants your hearts and minds connected to His continually. Are you getting that from the Scripture this morning? He wants a continual connection to the throne of our hearts and minds. Not 50%, not 80%, not 99%, 100%. He wants us to be connected. And because of Jesus laying down His life, we have access to that connection. It's totally free. It's totally attainable. And it's totally amazing. Let us pray. Father, today I ask that You would inspire some people who are serious about living for You to seek You honestly and openly and transparently. To open up Your word and say, here's where I'm weak, God. Here's where I'm vulnerable. Here's where I've been talking myself down. Lord, empower us to hear from You, to declare Your truth in a way that it would change our minds. Conform us to the image of Christ, Father, that we would please You. Now, God, I know it's easy to start, and many don't finish. And Lord, we know that Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So, Father, I pray that You would take our good intentions and convert them into obedient actions. God, we confess before our family members and our spiritual community that we need You. God, we ask that You would help others to craft and strengthen some statements, that You would renew our minds, that we could glorify You in all that we do. Father, it may seem a little silly at times. We may even feel like we're lying to ourselves, but we'll keep confessing the truth until the truth changes the way that we think and ultimately the way that we live. God, renew our minds. May our minds be controlled by Your Spirit that leads to a life of peace. We know Your blessings are going to continue for the rest of this Sabbath, God, and for that, we thank You. Father, I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed Sabbath and a great rest of the year.